You are listening to WGXC ICRA, hands-on creative community radio at 90.7 FM and streaming live online at WGXC.org. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael and Lisa Lindsay Hogg of Claverick, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in ICRA with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, October 17th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Lawrence Danforth reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul will travel to Israel on October 17th, just as that country goes to war with Hamas. Hochul explained why the governor of New York should visit a foreign war zone, saying, quote, "During these difficult times, it's more important than ever for New York to show up in support of Israel. I'll be traveling to Israel for a solidarity mission where I plan to meet with diplomatic leaders and communities who have been devastated by the horrific Hamas attacks. New York will show the world that we stand with Israel today, tomorrow, and forever," unquote. Hochul won't return to New York until October 20th. New York Senator Chuck Schumer was also in Tel Aviv over the weekend and was forced to take shelter amid bomb sirens during his visit. President Joe Biden will also go to Israel on October 18th. While the politicians visit, more than 1 million people have fled their homes in the Gaza Strip ahead of an expected Israeli army invasion. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman reports that former president and CEO of the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce, Jeffrey Hunt, was sentenced on October 16th to 1 2/3 to 5 years in state prison for taking more than $45,000 from the organization. On July 13th, Hunt pleaded guilty to grand larceny, a felony, before Judge Jonathan D. Nichols. He was arrested in 2021, charged with stealing $46,868.95 from the chamber's credit and debit accounts from November 11, 2016 to November 10, 2020. So far, he has paid back $12,000 of the stolen money. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Lawrence Danforth reports in the Times Union that New York's Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation wants input for a new master plan for the Lake Taconic State Park. There will be two meetings about the Columbia County Park in the towns of Taconic and Gallatin. There will be an online meeting from 2 to 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 31st. Send an email to laketaconic.plan@parks.ny.gov to get a registration link to attend online, or turn out for a brief presentation followed by a discussion from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 2nd at Taconic Fire Company No. 1 at 631 Old Route 82 in Taconic. Anyone with questions, comments, and ideas about Lake Taconic State Park's future should send emails to laketaconic.plan@parks.ny.gov or mail to Megan Zimba, Park Planner, Division of Environmental Stewardship and Planning, New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, 625 Broadway, Albany, New York, 12238. All comments must be sent by Friday, December 1st. Read more about this story in the Times Union, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, October 17th. Local early morning temperatures range from 40 degrees in Steventown to 48 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 56 degrees. Why do I tell you that number? Well, at this temperature, roots are still growing, planting can still be done, and snow has almost no chance of building up right now. It's also not very far off from the daily average. Today, temperatures hit 61 degrees at 2 p.m. and linger most of the afternoon. A tiny chance for some raindrops happens between 1 and 3 p.m. Overnight, we dip to 47 degrees. Then, tomorrow will be very similar with a high also of 61 degrees. The mercury hits 44 overnight. Then, on Thursday, we see a high of 63. And some dark clouds move in the afternoon. And they drop rain on us all day Friday. I'm not sure why, but right now some experimental systems are showing me a frost warning for next Monday. That should come into better focus as the week progresses. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:48 a.m., low tide at 11:28 a.m., high tide again at 5:05 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 57 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:06 a.m. Looking way up, we see sunspot 3467 blasted in Hadouken out that so far is likely to give us a glancing blow. But honestly, NASA's still learning in this aspect, so technically it could give us a glancing blow or it could give us a serious magnetic disturbance. We'll have to keep an eye on it. Plasma winds will be slow at 299 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 106, and this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
At last, a do-it-yourself fallout shelter from
Survival.
A shelter that will adequately protect you and your family from the devastating effects of
nuclear fallout and falling debris.
A Survival shelter is engineered and designed for simple assembly, takes just a weekend's time, and is civil defense approved.
Survival basement-type shelters are FHA approved. No money down, up to 5 years to pay.
Learn how easy it is to assemble a Survival do-it-yourself fallout shelter today.
The time is now. Protect your family against atomic attack and deadly nuclear fallout. See a Survival shelter today.
Basic sound. like you. I like you. I like you. I like you.
So-called injection of the air into the esophagus. Immediately afterwards, you will hear the basic sounds formed.
Oishii poteto tabetai na. Oishii kukari tohagetai na. Soura ga taratto akarui na. Sakana o genki da na Tobo tobo aruita michibata de Mita koto aru aru hito tachi no Jouge sayu ni hirogatte Monga mitai ni Ubie no oishii poteto o tabetai na Oishiku karitto agitai na Karatto akarui na Pichi pichi sakana mo genki da na Yutaka na mizumi tsuribito Uki uki kabetsu o mushite Hashiri dasu Hitori de no yama o kake meguru Kotatsu de no yama o Kusai Oishii poteto o tabetai na Oishiku karitto agitai na Soura ga karatto akarui na Pichi pichi sakana mo genki da na Oishii poteto o tabetai na Oishiku karitto agitai na Soura ga karatto akarui na Pichi pichi sakana mo genki da na
That was 2023 new music from Japan's Food Man with Peachy Peachy there.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We consider ourselves to be a real part of the American society. We are here to build, we are helping, we are doing the best of what we can.
Yusuf Hanan asks for peace following the killing of his 6-year-old Muslim nephew. Authorities say the boy and his mother were stabbed by their landlord after the man became obsessed with war coverage. Jewish and Muslim groups both report a rise in threats. President Joe Biden has voiced support for Israel, but the White House is also trying to open an aid corridor into Gaza. Humanitarian groups describe crowded hospitals close to losing power and hundreds of thousands of refugees in a desperate search for bread and water. Republicans in the House plan a floor vote for Speaker today. Politico describes a high-pressure campaign, including primary threats by frontrunner Jim Jordan of Ohio, that has converted at least 2 holdouts. Texas Representative Dan Crenshaw supports Jordan, but tells CNN democracy is messy.
I think what the real problem is that we've allowed a different process of democracy to take hold within our own conference, which is that majority doesn't rule.
The D.C. federal judge presiding over former President Donald Trump's 2020 election interference trial is barring Trump from making public statements targeting prosecutors or court staff. It's the second gag order imposed on him in a month. Trump is suing former British spy Christopher Steele over a dossier tying Trump to Russian 2016 election interference. Trump claims the shocking and scandalous charges damaged his reputation, but Steele's lawyers are asking the U.K. court to toss the suit. Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey says 23,000 newly arrived migrants, half of them children, have pushed emergency shelters to capacity. Healey says she's no longer waiting for the federal government to speed up work permits.
They want to work. They want to support their families. And we have thousands of open jobs going unfilled here in our state.
Some Republican lawmakers in Tennessee say the state should reject all federal education funding. The state gets nearly $2 billion a year, most of it for low-income students and students with disabilities. House Speaker Cameron Sexton says parents and the state would have more freedom without it.
When you take federal government money, their philosophies, what they want you to do is different than probably what the state wants to do.
In Ohio, voting is underway for a November ballot measure to enshrine abortion rights in the state's constitution. Polls show nearly 60% of Ohio voters say abortion should be legal, but Republican Governor Mike DeWine is voting no.
It would make us have some of the most pro-abortion laws in the nation. It would put us in the same category as California and other states. That's just not where Ohio is.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We have updates on two North Carolina election bills designed to consolidate partisan power. HB 747 and 749 were vetoed by the governor, but overridden by the legislature on October 10th. Last month, we reported on HB 749, which removes the governor's power to appoint members to the state and county election boards and gives that authority to the legislature. Like the toothless U.S. Federal Election Commission, the state election board now has equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, so a deadlock likely means few decisions and no accountability. Governor Roy Cooper vetoed the bill, but the veto was overridden by the legislature. The same day, the legislature overrode Cooper's veto of HB 747, a voter suppression bill shortening the number of days when mail-in ballots could be received, creating a pilot program for notoriously inaccurate signature matching on those ballots, limiting notifications to a voter before removal from the voter rolls, allowing poll observers to take pictures of voters in the polling place, and loosening restrictions on who can challenge another voter's ballot, among other voter suppression tactics. WRAL reports that on the day of the override, two federal lawsuits were filed against the state, claiming the limitations on voter notification disenfranchises thousands of voters, and the Election Day registration restrictions target Black and Hispanic voters. We have more on these bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Brendan Donegan with the October WGXC Ag Report. Today I'm in Hudson talking about pumpkins with Will Yandick from Green Acres Farm on Route 23 in Livingston.
Hey, how's it going? We are actually on Route 82 in Livingston.
I always wondered about that, whether 23 and 82 are the same road.
No, we're about a mile south of Bell's Pond, and at that point it is solely 82.
It becomes 82.
That's right.
Well, I learned something today. Okay, first, I have some questions here about pumpkins.
Great.
First, to settle an old argument I had with my teacher in third grade, is a pumpkin a fruit or a vegetable?
That's a great question, and the answer really depends on whether you are a botanist or a regular Joe Schmo off the street. So I think for most of us, we refer to them as vegetables, but in strict botanical terms, they are a fruit because they the edible part contains seeds. So the seeds develop in the embryo of the developing pumpkin, and then it surrounds it with a sort of fleshy material, just the same as an apple or a pear or a peach. So a pumpkin is technically a fruit.
That makes sense. How did they get started in the United States? Why are they so popular?
Well, pumpkins are an ancient culinary legacy that we enjoy in America. I mean, some version of pumpkins were being grown by Native Americans for thousands of years, even in New York, as well as the desert Southwest and Mesoamerica. And so we really inherited this incredible fruit or vegetable, whichever you prefer to call it. And 200 years ago, it was really all about the eating of the pumpkin. A good pumpkin was something that you could stuff into your cellar in October. And when the pork barrel got a little lean sometime in March, you could pull that pumpkin back out, roll it up your cellar stairs, carve into it, and it wasn't rotten, and you could eat it. Today, they are largely decorative. So most of the pumpkin breeding that's happening, and there's a lot of it, is to make things that are really wacky looking or different colors or something that looks good on someone's porch.
I have seen. I was at Green Acres Farm last week at the farm stand on Route 82, and I saw very wide variety of pumpkins. I saw pale ones. I saw warty ones that had bumps all over them. I saw fairly big ones, and I saw little ones. What varieties of pumpkin are grown at Green Acres Farm?
We grow dozens of varieties on about 10 acres, and different kinds for different purposes. And what's interesting is there is a kind of progression in what people buy. So our first mini pumpkins hit the store shelves around Labor Day weekend, the kind of thing that makes some people groan, oh my God, it's too early for fall.
Yeah.
But there are always those early adapters that want to get that small little mini pumpkin on their desk at work to brighten up their cubicle or whatnot. And then it moves in sort of to the porch decorating phase, which is the middle of September until about Columbus Day. And then most of your jack-o'-lanterns, the kinds that are going to be carved and then hopefully not stolen by a teenager and smashed into the middle of the road, those usually sell between the middle of October and those last-minute shoppers the eve or day or two before Halloween. Mm-hmm. We also grow a number of culinary pumpkins.
So that was your mind reader. I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, the tan pumpkins that you talk about, that variety is called Long Island cheese. Mm-hmm. And that's like if you had taken a butternut squash and stamped it into a pumpkin-shaped mold.
Okay.
It has a pale tan skin and a bright orange middle, and it's excellent for soups or roasting and that sort of thing.
Okay. What are the needs of pumpkins as a crop when we talk about soil or fertilizer, sun and shade?
Pumpkins take a long time to grow. So anywhere from 90 to 120 days from the moment you plant the seed. So there's a lot that can go wrong in that amount of time. And everything has to go right to get something that you're proud of picking in September or October. You have to have just the right amount of moisture. Not too little, or the pumpkins will be small and dry. Not too much, or they'll rot. And they're what we call in the business of farming heavy feeders, which means they need a lot of nitrogen. But again, only at the front part, because if they have too much nitrogen at the end, you'll get a big, leafy, wonderful, luxurious pumpkin patch with no pumpkins in
it. Many gardeners can attest to that. They've given too much fertilizer to their flowers or their vegetables and found out they just got a big bush and that was all.
That's right. And so it really is kind of a Goldilocks crop, not too wet, not too dry, a little bit of fertility, not too much. And you hope that the deer don't bite them and woodchucks in the interim before you pick them.
I think you anticipated my next question, which was about the challenges of growing pumpkins. How has the weather been this season for growing pumpkins?
It's too wet.
Okay.
So when you look, there is a kind of pumpkin belt, and they've described this since the 19th century, that it's, you know, its center, the tenderloin of pumpkin growing is Pennsylvania, upstate New York, Ohio. It's too hot in the south. You get too much of a nipping frost in September in Canada. And so we're right in the sweet spot, and climate change is making it harder. It's just pumpkins can sunburn. So we had one variety that we picked around the 5th of September, we pick them off the vine and windrow them off the vine so they cure. But if you recall back to September, it was a stretch of 90, 92 degree days and very sunny.
I remember.
And the pumpkin sunburned and we didn't sell that variety very well. So again, like the Goldilocks comment, it's going to get more challenging to grow pumpkins in places like Pennsylvania and New York. Whether the pumpkin belt will someday move into Montreal, I don't know. But there are a number of other pests, too. I mentioned deer and woodchucks love to eat pumpkins.
You mean a deer will come up and just chew into a pumpkin?
Yes, and deer are what are called browsers. So they do the very annoying thing of sampling a tiny little scrape out of one pumpkin as they traipse through your pumpkin patch and bite six or seven others. If they eat one, bon appetit.
Yeah.
But eating 30 is a problem, and they That's can do right. this night
what,
after
what
night.
What about woodchucks?
A woodchuck can probably do more damage than a pumpkin because they're so localized. Deer are moving over several miles. Woodchucks are moving over several hundred yards from their burrow. So
it was a challenging season for local farmers, and I mean that as a, you know, that's kind of downplaying it. But How was this year's crop at Green Acres for pumpkins?
For pumpkins, I would say average. For the overall crop for Columbia County, it was one of the worst growing seasons in probably two or three decades. It was a terrible year for fruit. We had very difficult late frosts,
right,
and it's been a very wet year. Fortunately, our farm, we put the pumpkins on gravel, so there's very good drainage. So we do have a crop, and we are wholesaling some. I'd give it a solid B- for pumpkins.
What should consumers look for when they're buying a carving pumpkin or an eating pumpkin?
Two totally different lists. So an eating pumpkin should feel heavy. You should lift it up, give it a good thump, and it should be resinous and just feel like, oh, I've got to, you know, put a little oomph to get this thing into my car. You want that density because that's what you're going to be eating. It shouldn't have any spots or light watermarks. It should have a nice even color and a stem that isn't too dried out or too withered. That's going to be a good eating pumpkin, something you're going to carve into, make a pie or roast it or soup. Carving pumpkins, it's really about aesthetics. I sometimes find that the oddballs, those that have some weird wart or curly Q stem, are the things that catch people's eyes, and it's entirely up to your own aesthetics. Again, it should not have any spotting or any light watercolor marks. It should be a nice deep orange if it's an orange pumpkin, or a deep blue if it's a blue or green pumpkin.
Or soft spots.
No soft spots. Yeah. And I always buy my carvers by the quality of the handle. It's just the handle is the top hat, the panache.
What happens to pumpkins left over at the end of the season?
So several things. A pumpkin is sort of, you've heard the phrase, you turn into a pumpkin after midnight. Well, pumpkins turned into something far worse than a pumpkin at midnight on October 31st. Their value is severely cut.
Goes down the drain.
But it is a very high quality animal feed, and we feed them both to our own goats and other folks who have goats take them for a very cheap price, or sometimes free at all on November 1st. And the pumpkin have an interesting deworming property for goats. So this is an old sort of folksy remedy.
Is that the seed or the flesh?
I really don't know. I'd have to look that up. And the goats don't discriminate. They just sort of chow down on it. They make good pig food, too. Pigs certainly get fat on all those nice, nutritious seeds.
Okay, a final question. Again, it takes me back to my childhood because we argued about this all the time. We've seen pumpkins on people's porches after very cold weather split open and all over the porch. Can pumpkins explode in sub-zero weather?
I've never heard about it being related to sub-zero, but I'm going to tell you a freakish alien story. There is a fungal disease called Phytophthora. It can be devastating for pumpkins. It's one of the reasons why we never, ever plant pumpkins in the same place year after year. We always wait 2 or 3 years before returning to that same patch of ground. But Phytophthora is a type of bacterial / fungal infection. And as the bacteria grows inside the pumpkin, it produces a kind of methane gas. And the gas will actually expand to the point where it is greater than the pressure of the containing shell. Now, is this going to go off like an atom bomb with a mushroom cloud and, you know, car alarms going off in your neighborhood? No, but I will confess I have heard a kind of hissing noise as the gas expands and a kind of a little geyser effect around
like
those fissures.
Kind of like an over aired tire then.
Well put. Yeah. So explode might be a license of, you know, literary affection, but certainly seem apart and hiss. I think the answer is pumpkins will hiss.
Okay. Pumpkins will hiss. So this has been Brendan Donegan with the October WGXC Ag Report. And this has been Will Yandick talking to us about pumpkins. Have a great Halloween.
That was the Australian trio Dirty Three with I Remember a Time When Once You Used to Love Me from their 1998 album Horse Story. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Patricia Tyne reports in the Times Union that the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York is hosting a rally for Israel at 7 p.m. October 9th at Congregation Beth Emeth. They say it will be a, and I quote, community-wide rally to show support for Israel and pray for peace and aid to those injured and in mourning, end quote. This weekend, the Palestinian group Hamas attacked Israel, which then declared war on Hamas, and many civilians were killed. At Temple Israel in Albany on October 7th, Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, "There is no justification. There never has been. There never will be for such cowardly, heinous acts by this terrorist organization known as Hamas. And tonight we grieve for the families. We pray for the families of those who have lost a loved one or are separated tonight living in the unknown, to those who are injured, and those who have been kidnapped," end quote. Hochul also said security will be increased near Jewish places of worship and community centers around the state, and Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan said their police department would also be increasing their presence locally around Jewish houses of worship. Mid-Hudson News reports on the reactions from two local congressional representatives. Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th District, said, and I quote, "I stand united with the state of Israel and unequivocally condemn the brutal attacks carried out by Hamas and other terrorist groups this morning. My heart is with the innocent Israeli civilians ruthlessly murdered and all of those living in fear from these continued terrorist attacks," end quote. Republican Mark Molinaro, who represents the 19th District, said, and I quote, "The savage attack by Hamas on Israel is disgusting and cannot be tolerated. The United States stands with our ally Israel and against these brutal terrorists. We must swiftly and unequivocally condemn Hamas and always stand with Israel, and we pray for her people," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union and at Mid-Hudson News. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Democrat Representative Pat Ryan wants House Republicans to join Democrats to make Democrat Hakeem Jeffries the new House Speaker. Republicans are in disarray with 8 ultra-conservative members ousting Kevin McCarthy last week. That has effectively halted the federal government, as the House cannot take any action without a speaker. Ryan said, and I quote, "I am calling on 5 Republicans to transcend the partnership and really operate as patriots and join what has been the most functionally unified coalition and now the plurality of the House, which is the Democratic coalition, to unify with us so we can get back to governing," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "A vote for Hakeem Jeffries is a vote to move from the chaos of the last 9 months and get back to a place of civility and delivering results," end quote. Virtually no political analysts believe Republicans will work with Democrats to back a Democrat for House Speaker. But Ryan said, and I quote, "We are in uncharted territory and that calls for an extraordinary and unusual approach. I think there is a real chance and I hope that we will see a few folks step forward. A few who have the courage and more will join," end quote. So far, local Republicans Mark Molinaro has not decided who he will support for Speaker. Ryan voted for Speaker Kevin McCarthy's ouster, while Molinaro voted against it. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Kate Lisa reports at New York State of Politics that there have been rallies and protests around New York State for Israel and Palestinian people caught in a new war between their governments. On October 9th, Governor Kathy Hochul attended a Jewish Federation of Northern New York event in Albany at Congregation Beth Emeth Reform Synagogue. Hochul said, and I quote, I assure you, as the governor, I will make sure that we leave no stone unturned to find out how we can make sure that every single one of you is safe when you gather, because that is your God-given right to exercise your belief, your religion, your true identity, end quote. Representative Paul Tonko, Assembly Members Pat Fahey, John McDonnell III, and Phil Steck, Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan, and Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple also attended that event. A local Palestinian rights committee has scheduled a rally in support of Palestinians on October 10th at 4 p.m. in Townstead Park in Albany. Ulster County Assemblyperson Sarah Hannah Shrestha said that, and I quote, "The devastating violence in Israel and Palestine must come to an end. For as long as I can remember, this conflict has shown how violence begets violence, and the only way to end the cycle is to end Israeli occupation and let Palestinians live and move freely," end quote. The days-old war in the Middle East has been brutal so far, with the Palestinian Hamas group taking senior citizens and children hostage and killing many others, and Israel bombing buildings with civilians and cutting off supplies to trapped Palestinians. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that Allison Esposito announced on October 10th that she would run for the Republican nomination for Congress in New York's 18th District next year. That seat is currently held by Democrat Pat Ryan. Esposito lost in a bid for lieutenant governor last year with the also unsuccessful Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin. Until recently, Esposito listed her address as New York City, but now says she's a resident of Goshen. She had a 25-year career with New York Police Department before her recent efforts in politics. Esposito sounded familiar conservative Republican themes in her opening statement, saying, and I quote, "President Biden and his allies in Congress have left our nation a shell of its former self. Our southern border is non-existent, inflation has left families choosing between gas and groceries, and we have relinquished our standing on the world stage. Right now, the Hudson Valley is represented by a defender of President Biden's failed policies. Instead of fighting for everyday hardworking families, our representative is fighting for his own self-interest," end quote. Read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Mid-Hudson News reports that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro was back in Dutchess County on October 10th celebrating the new jail there that he helped get built. Molinaro campaigned for his former role as Dutchess County Executive on building a better county jail. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Today, the goal we set 11 years ago has been met. Dutchess County now has a modern facility with the needed space to expand the county's nationally renowned alternatives to incarceration and restorative justice programs, increasing public safety and delivering savings to taxpayers," end quote. The new jail has 328 beds, far more than at the new Greene County Jail. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Republicans removing Republicans is in the news again. First, 8 ultra-conservative House Republicans voted to vacate Kevin McCarthy from the role of House Speaker, and now Alex Galt at Johnson News Service reports Representative Mark Molinaro and other Republicans want to expel George Santos. The Long Island Republican was charged October 10th with another slate of campaign finance crimes. White House Republicans complained they could not trust McCarthy. Santos is widely considered the most accomplished liar in American politics. On October 11th, Molinaro and 4 other New York House Republicans introduced a resolution to expel Santos from Congress. Molinaro said, and I quote, "George Santos is a liar and a fraud with a growing rap sheet. I have said and continue to say he should resign. Since he won't, I am supporting a resolution to expel him from Congress," end quote. Representative Elise Stefanik, who backed Santos in his campaign for Congress, is silent so far about expelling the Long Island representative and did not answer a request for comment. Stefanik represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District and recently moved to Leeds. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
Yeah. take anyone, boy or girl. Anastasia, come to me, talk to me, ravish me, liberate my mind. Tell me what you think of me, praise me, craze me, out this space and time. Between white and black, night and day, black night seemed like the only way. So I danced. Music late, music late, nothing great, nothing great. No way, no way to differentiate. I took a chance. Gregory looks just like a ghost, and then a beautiful girl the most. Wet her lips to say.
Understand. God is mine.
Thank you.